Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
What's going on, everybody? This is Marcus, and I'm here with my lovely wife,
Shira.
Or as Steve Urkel likes to say, the lovely Laura Winslow. No, I'm playing.
But anyway. Not Laura Winslow.
Guys, I'm just really happy and excited about today's episode. I'm excited to be chilling with you, Shira. How you feeling? How you feeling today?
I feel fine. It's just another day.
It's just another day in paradise. Well, Shira, I'm excited about today's topic because we're going to be talking about marriage, and specifically from the topic of why Black millennials are not getting married.
What is going on?
What's going on? What's going on? Shira, I'm going to really just turn it over to you and let you, you know, kind of throw us into this topic. But before we get there, we definitely want to do some house cleaning. We want to let you
house
know.
Cleaning? I thought it was housekeeping.
Yes, sorry, housekeeping.
Housekeeping. I would love for you to clean the house, though.
So as you can tell, we're straight into the podcast now. So if you're not familiar, if you're just the first time listening to the Black Married Debt Free podcast, we talk about anything from real estate to all things finance, debt payoff, and marriage. You know what I mean? So welcome to the show. If you're new, and if you're not new, welcome back. So Shira, without further ado, why don't you lead us into the topic?
Marcus, you sounded like you were doing the church announcements.
Yes, church announcements. That's what we'll call that segment, church announcements.
Church announcements. I mean, it really took COVID for folks to get a break from the church announcements. Like, we can't read the bulletin. Anywho, let's stay on topic. So I came across some really, really interesting statistics. Yes. And it was from an article from the Pew Research Center. And for those of you who are readers, it's titled "As Millennials Near 40, They're Approaching Family Life Differently Than Previous Generations." So in looking at that article, I learned that a majority of millennials are not married. And only 44% of millennials were married in 2019. And that is pretty low compared to previous generations.
Yes.
And one of the things that it noted was that for men, the average age of the first marriage was age 30. What's wrong with y'all? 30? Okay. And for women, they were 28 years old. Wow. And the thing that struck me was that Black millennials are far less likely to be married than millennials in other racial and ethnic groups. Mm. So 24%. So that's about one in four Black millennials are married. So that means 75% are single. And when we look at other races, so 51% of Asian millennials are married, 48% of white millennials are married, and 42% of Hispanic millennials are married. Mm. And I guess the question is, well, why is it? So the article did not go into why, but I think today we're going to try to fill in the gaps. Yeah. So
we'll give our opinions and our
yes.
thoughts
on that. So Marcus has his theories that I have not heard.
Okay.
And I have a few of my own that I am going to either shock him with or not shock him with. Yeah. So do you have one for me, or would you like me to go first?
You know what, Shira? Why don't you go ahead and go first, because you're on a nice flow right now. I like the flow that you're on.
Okay.
So I'm going to let you go, and then I'm going to come over the top rope with
mine. Okay. Well, I guess this kind of goes with your church announcements. Because one of my reasons was the acceptability of cohabitation.
Yes.
Where in past years, okay, so cohabitation, aka shacking, mm-hmm. aka living with your boo. Right. Okay. Right. So like no one calls it shacking. I mean, I have not heard anyone use that terminology like in years, but like when we were younger, like what do you think would happen if you and I decided to move in together? What would have happened?
My family would have been like, what, you know, are you going to marry her? They would have looked at me sideways because I come from a very deep-rooted church family, you know, so they would have been like, what's going on? I kind of would have been probably outcast. Like,
I think someone would have showed up to the house with oil and the ladder. They would have slathered us down with oil.
Yeah.
Or I think I'm saying it wrong, and we would have had a shotgun wedding right in your apartment.
Yeah, they would have been like, what are you doing? And either they would have talked me into marrying you shotgun style, or I would have just been the black sheep.
Yeah, I don't think I would have been a black sheep, but I don't think my mother would have approved.
Yeah.
Nor my father.
Yeah.
If he were to find out.
And Shire, just talk about what time that was. I mean, man. Time has flown. That was 15 years back. So the world was a different place morally 15 years ago. Like even 15 years ago, we see people getting canceled all the time for things they said 15 years ago, right? That now you can't say those things. So the moral compass has just kind of shifted in general, and it does over time anyway. So fast forward to now, I mean, we might not be met with such vitriol now.
Yeah. I mean, right? we know people who have cohabitated and it has led to marriage. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I know people that have had the opposite experience where their cohabitation did not lead to marriage. It led to, I really don't think this is going to work out.
Right.
And it ended up in a breakup. So if you are living with someone who is your partner, I think in some situations there's not an urgency to get married.
Right.
Now, I don't have statistics on if the cohabitation rates are higher within the black community. I don't know. But in general, I think we can make an assumption that in most ethnic racial groups, it is a little bit higher and it is trending upward. It has trended upward over time.
Right.
So that was mine. You got one. Okay. I mean, I have some more too, but what you got?
Okay, well, let's get into it because, you know, this is a finance podcast and we do touch on marital topics as we do today. But let's keep it. Let's kind of go back to the finance piece. I believe welfare. Yeah, I believe welfare played a role. And that's not
welfare.
Just my thought either. A website here.
Why would you say it? It's welfare's fault. You got to give me some more.
Well, I'm going to break it down.
Okay.
So the Institute for Family Studies.org, ifstudies.org, states that in, let me find my information here, but in.
Help them. Take your time.
From 1890 to 1950, Shire, black men and women had a higher marriage rate than white women. So that was
than white women than white couples
than white couples. So okay. That was during the age of Reconstruction and Jim Crow, from 1890 to 1950.
Marcus, do you know how long ago 1890 was? I mean, that was a very long time ago.
Well, peep the stat, Shire. I have more for you.
They didn't even have welfare back then.
Yeah, exactly. So in 1950, just 9% of black children lived without their father.
Okay.
Right. So that also goes back to say, hey, the family dynamic was strong. There were a lot of couples. There were a lot of married couples, mother and father in the home. Shire, by 1960, the black marriage rate had declined, but remained close to our white counterparts. But by the mid-1980s, fatherlessness skyrocketed. Today, only 44% of black children have their father in the home. And what this website points to is welfare. When welfare came in the late 1960s, it was an assistance from the government for, you know, women and really was had a focus on broken families. Right. And they're saying this study is saying that may have played a role into, hey, if we're having a rocky relationship, right?
And you leave the home and I can get a check.
And I could get money. The government can be that pseudo man in the family. It kind of serves as a divisive thing, you know. And then, you know, let's say, okay, so that's dealing with a married couple that may split. But let's say if you're growing up and you know that, hey, this assistance is out there as a backup plan. You know, maybe I can get by with just me and raising my kid. I'm less inclined to go the extra mile to stay in this relationship when I have a nice safety net. And this study says that overwhelmingly affected Black families more so than other families, which leads us to the statistics that you named off that are today. What people aren't marrying because we from the 1980s to current, we saw that the family wasn't really like a huge dynamic. It was like there were many split families that were successful that did okay. You know what I'm saying? You came out of a family.
How do you say split that, families that were successful?
That survived, that excelled, that, you know what I mean? Many of my friends growing up didn't have a father. They maybe just had, you know, just raised by their mother, you know, but they were successful just as I was. They were still just succeeding in school. So we've seen from the 80s to current that you can survive with just one parent, or you could survive alone, so to speak, right? So it just kind of made marriage like not this glamorous thing like it was, because in the 50s we needed each other.
We still need each other.
But when you have this safety net, I'm going to go back to the welfare safety net system.
It's a net. It's not a blanket. It's not a warm blanket. Right, right. Like, do you know what a net looks like? A net is full of holes.
Right. But it may have served as a, well, you know what? We're not seeing completely eye to eye. I don't necessarily want to work on this. Or I kind of want to do me. You know what I mean? I want to do me. So I can do that because I, you know.
Right. So I think what you're saying is that.
Help me out, Shara.
I think what you're saying is that there is a historical piece, and there's also a piece that is part government policy,
right,
that have not incentivized a man being in the home.
Right.
I think that's what you're saying.
Or doing the work to stay, because we know marriage is hard and it takes work.
Right. And you had a statistic from 1890, but what this recent article is showing is that there are differences in our generation than our parents and, yes, their parents. You don't even have to go back that far to see the shifts and changes in society.
Yeah.
But I definitely think that there is a governmental policy piece, because historically, I'm looking at history, our families have been broken up.
Right.
So, but I don't, you know, I.
Well, let's take the government out of it.
Okay.
We could take the government out, okay, of it. Let's just say it, because the welfare thing is it's a hot take, as they say in the sports world. So that's it. That means
welfare is government. Right. I think the government policies.
Let's
like
take
I
the
said.
Government out of it. Okay. Because that kind of feels like a conspiracy theory.
It kind of did. How really... you was explaining it. I wasn't going to say it.
Okay.
But you
so
did.
Let's take that out. The numbers don't lie that marriage. Broken homes and marriage. Let me say this: in the mid 1980s, the statistics clearly show that marriage was not as important as it was in years prior.
I think marriage has always been important. Well,
I'm talking about just merely the numbers.
Well, you can say a decline, but I don't think the statistics don't say how important something
okay,
is.
Let's just say the numbers clearly state that it declined. Marriage declined in the 80s. So what does that mean?
I don't know.
We're not saying what caused it. Let's just say, can we both agree that it declined?
Well, we are both saying that there has been a continued decline.
Cool. So let's say if the numbers really became more polarizing in the 80s, those are the parents of millennials. So the millennial era didn't see their parents as married as the generation before it.
Okay.
So now marriage.
So you're now it's a cycle.
It's a cycle. It's okay. Cyclical. So now
this
marriage
is a cycle. It's generational.
I could do it, but I could also have fun.
Because so what you're saying is that if you grow up in a single parent home or something to that effect, you're more likely to have seen someone do it alone. So therefore you think,
man,
I can do it if I have to.
Yeah. And no shade to that. I think that's awesome. I think a lot of our young ladies, black women they're like, hey, I'm not really going to wait and just kind of be nurtured into, even with my daughter. I'm going to try to find a healthy balance, but I don't necessarily want to nurture my daughter into just being that, a housewife, like nurture her into just wait for a husband because he's going to come, and you want to be really a membership. We had home ec classes and we want to groom our ladies to be good wives.
Homemakers.
I want my daughter to be somewhat independent too.
No,
because this is
I want her to be,
I want her to have a
she
nice
has
balance.
A good balance. I mean, she's a young girl and she will get in the kitchen with mama. But, and cook, and she'll, when the guests come, ask them if they need something. That's just hospitality. Those are good life skills that people need to have, whether you're male or female. I understand where you're coming from, though.
Yeah, I
want your baby girl to be okay.
To be okay and not have to wait on a guy necessarily. Whereas generations past, that wasn't the mentality. The mentality was you grow up, you get married.
That was the social norm. That was the social norm.
Yes.
And so what we're saying is that the norms are changing. Under the norms, what's considered normal?
Right.
It's being redefined.
It's being redefined.
So can I go?
It's on you.
Sorry. I mean,
I feel
you
good
just
about
took
what
up.
I said.
Okay.
I feel good about what,
right.
I, what I had to say.
So how are you going to like this? My reason why black millennials are not getting married is because men are not leaving the nest. Yes, I put it off on the brothers. Okay. Well, I don't have the statistics for black men, but this is all men. But okay, so 14% of millennials live with their parents and another 14% live with other family members. Okay, so that's 28% of millennials are living with someone and who's not a spouse.
Facts.
And then millennial men are much more likely than millennial women to live with their parents. So that's 18% of men compared to 10% of women. So if we have 18% of millennial men living at home, are they in a position to take on the responsibility of a wife and family? Speak on it.
Absolutely not. but it depends on their reason for living at home. So, you know, you may
what reason could you possibly have? Millennials are in their 30s, nearing their 40s. Some might be in their late 20s. I'm not sure. Right. But you creeping on out of them 20s if you're a millennial.
Yeah. I mean, you may be stacking your money.
You think that's what the 18% are doing? They're just sitting at home stacking money?
Yeah. I think what we see happening.
For what purpose?
Well, sorry, in all honesty, me and you are on the high end of the millennial age bracket, right? So we scarcely made it into that millennial class. But let's bring it down to folks.
I don't think we scarcely, because some people will say that 1980.
Well, yeah,
if you're born,
right.
You know, so
we're kind of smack dab in that middle.
We're kind of in the middle.
Well, let's break it down to maybe an individual, maybe 10 years younger than us, maybe in their mid 20s, right? I feel like they're not in a rush to get married because they want to have a solidified career.
That's what they say, but only one in four are married. I think we're all hiding behind. We're just waiting. And they are. And millennials are waiting. That's why I gave the age, you know, the average age of marriage for men is age 30.
Yeah, I think men want to be.
Why are we living at home? Why are the men more so than the women staying at home?
Well, I think one could say that it's the cost of living is a lot more expensive. Rents are a lot more expensive. I mean, myself, I came from the generation of 18, 21, you moved out. And like, you could do that, right? I had my first apartment was cost me $550 a month. It was a studio apartment. They got studio apartments in San Francisco that will rent out for $6,000 a month. So it's
well, then you don't live in San Francisco.
I'm not too far though.
Well, you don't. You know what I'm saying? Need to move and relocate so you can be the best you.
Yes, yes, I agree. Men make it happen, so no excuses, you know, as to why you can't do it. If you want to do something, you need to do it.
So why? So well, if that's the case, then why are 18% of millennials? I feel like you're on the stand. You're on trial. Yeah, yeah. Why are 18%? That's a high percentage, Marcus.
I'm gonna keep it 1,000. Let's go here, Shire. Okay. Let's go here. It's hard to be with if you're not a hyper successful male. And it, trust me, if you're living at home and you're making just enough to maybe get out on your own, but not quite yet. So that's why you're staying at home. It's hard to get into the dating cycle because these ladies are successful, man. These ladies are educated and because black women are the highest rising entrepreneur class. These black women got it together. Oh. And it's hard to step to a sister and you making, you know, just enough. It's hard to step to a sister when you come in, when you stepping out of a Honda Civic. You see what I'm talking about?
That's a good car. Well,
let's keep it 100 though, Shire.
Can we keep it? I'm gonna keep it 1,000. Okay. So keeping it 1,000 is that yes, black women were highly.
Y'all be wanting y'all Birkin bags and all this kind of foolishness.
What is that? Okay, so yes, women in general are.
You want a brother with some money. Let's keep it real, Shire.
Okay. So women in general are graduating from college at higher rates than men.
Yes.
However, black men statistically still make more than black women. Okay. So I pulled some statistics for us. Okay. They're a couple years old, but they're from the Department of Labor Statistics. So this was in 2017.
Okay.
So I'm not sure what the pandemic has done to wages of our black families, but in 2017, the median salary for a black man was $42,076. Okay. And for black women, it was $36,735. And the salary was trending down from the year before. Trending down. So I think you're right about the education piece, but statistically, I'm not sure if black women are making more than black men because generally men do make more than women.
Well, let's go here, Shire, because okay. I love that you gave those average numbers.
Okay.
And I'm gonna just be real with it. The average person doesn't want the average person. What do you mean by that, Marcus? Everybody believes that their soulmate
fairy tale
should be a fairy tale. So if I'm making 40,000 and I'm a young lady, I believe that I deserve a man that's making X, Y, and Z. If I'm a young man that's making 40,000, I think I deserve Halle Berry, who's this model, right? So everyone's idea of their mate is inflated. Let's not act like that's not true.
Okay.
Nobody wants to date someone who's average across the board. That's not what you're going out looking for. That may be what you find, you know, but no one wants to quote unquote settle. So while these numbers are average, no one wants the average person. Everybody's waiting for that, you know, that perfect picture in their mind of what they want their mate to be. And I think that could be hurting marriages.
Okay.
Everybody's waiting. Everybody's trying to get the best. There's only so much best to go around.
You're right. But you know what's funny? I don't know if you're realizing this dynamic is that I've been blaming the men and you've been blaming the women.
I wouldn't say that.
Well, yes, you are. You're saying
I'm talking about fellas too.
But
fellas too. We're waiting for this dime.
So you're saying that people don't have realistic expectations.
Shire, that was you just took the words right out of my mouth. That's what I'm trying to say. I think people's expectations are real. So a guy, men who are staying with their mothers, they feel inefficient. They feel I can't pursue the type of woman I see in my head until I get my money right, until I get my paper right. So I'm either going to stay huddled up in my mother's house and not aspire for more, or I'm staying in my mother's house and I'm stacking to become this great person so I can go out with my, you know, three-piece suit on and finally get that girl that I've always seen in my mind. I know she wants those types of things.
I don't know that 18% of men that are staying at home with their parents are actively seeking to become the person that you just described. Parents, if you have a son, we have a son, mm-hmm. but the job is to raise a boy into a man.
Right.
And if you're a millennial and you're in your 30s and your late 30s.
You have very specific taste in your late
30s. Your late 30s and you're preparing yourself. That means that you've had at least 12 years of being out of high school. What have you done?
Let's go here.
Okay, let's go.
That was a great question, Sarah. I do agree with what you say. But let's go here. Let's keep it 1,000. If you met Marcus Murray at 30 years old, think about where Shira was at 30 years old. I want you to be honest with our audience here today. I'm going to finish my question before I let you go. Okay, Shira. You're 30-year-old Shira, and you met 30-year-old Marcus.
Mm-hmm.
Could I pull you? Could I step to you with where I was at 30 and where you were at 30?
Okay, so our lives are so intertwined that I cannot answer that question.
You can't imagine yourself at 30 without me there.
At 30, we're already 9 years in. We're already 9 years in. So it's hard to answer that question. Okay, I do have another thing.
Because 30-year-old Marcus is a hustler, a hard worker. But 30-year-old Marcus isn't degreed up. 30-year-old Marcus isn't clocking six figures. And you're degreed up. And but you're waiting for...
I have a stat on that.
Okay.
So actually, I have a statement because I don't know what I did with this stat, but basically the article shared that millennial men are more likely than women to marry someone with higher educational credentials. So a lot of men are open to being married to a woman that has attained, you know, a higher educational accomplishment or however you want to describe that. And there was another piece to that. But I don't know. But I think that is just turning into the norm. I mean,
because I think people are waiting. People are spending more time to learn themselves. We had our good friends, the Money Monopolizers. We were on their podcast and we kind of spoke to this. I think people are waiting to build their careers. People are spending more time to learn themselves, to learn their tastes, to get what they think their career is, to get a little more stable. And so when you're doing that, You're aging. Your tastes are changing. And when you get 30 and you got your career, or you ladies, you have your degree, gentlemen, you have that big job, man, you want a very specific person. So you're less willing to build a life with someone.
Okay. I have to throw you a question though, because I feel like we're not really addressing the question. Okay. The question is, why aren't Black millennials not getting married? Not millennials across the board. Because Black millennial marriage is only 24% compared to 51% of Asian, 48% of white, and 42% of Hispanic millennials. So why aren't the Black millennials getting married? Black people.
Let's go here. I believe the overwhelming majority of Black men and Black women have developed stereotypes of each other.
Okay.
Okay, they developed limiting beliefs in regards to each other. And so they were less inclined to go into it blindly. Like they've developed these
blind
go into a relationship optimistically. I think they've developed these thoughts based on what we see on stupid social media.
Come on.
On television and different things like that. We've developed these stereotypes of each other. And so we're less likely to learn each other and cohabitate and build a life together. I think there's some benefit to naivete. When me and you, we were young, dumb, and in love. And I think that has served as a wonderful benefit to us. Sometimes what you don't know is a good thing because you can learn with each other. Instead, you come into the relationship with all this information, all this stuff you've seen online, all this stuff you've read in these magazines on what women want, what men want. And you come into it jaded. You come into it with your guard up. Come on, Shara.
I'm going to amen that.
Thank you, Shara.
I think that we take a lot of advice from people who don't have the lived experience to back it up. Okay, let me say that again. We take advice from people that do not have the lived experience to back it up.
That's
okay.
That's a preach.
So
that's
one of the things that I looked up, because I think a lot of times we're quick to make Black women feel bad for being educated, but when you actually look at the statistics, people with a bachelor's degree or higher, they tend to stay married. They tend to stay married, period.
Yes.
They tend to stay married when compared to those who do not have a bachelor's or who have a high school degree or like a GED.
Right.
So folks that are married actually tend to stay together. Might be hard finding a man, but girl, when you get him, y'all, it's going to work.
Yeah.
It's going to work. I mean, that's what that is what the statistics say when you actually look at them.
Yeah.
So
I think that's good, Char.
I don't know, but I mean, yeah, I think that sometimes folks don't have realistic expectations, I don't know. I mean, I feel like our whole conversation is speculation.
Yeah.
We don't have, there's no causation. Like, because of this, Black people are not getting married. I feel like there's many, many layers.
Yeah, it's definitely a thick topic of conversation to unpack for sure.
Right. But there are so many benefits to getting married.
Yeah. Let's go into that. That's what I want to go into, Shire, because.
Well, okay. Boom. I can
no
give you some right now.
No matter how hard you hustle, no matter how successful you are, and no matter how successful you are individually, what if you connect with someone who's equally as successful? I'm sorry, isn't.
You don't even have to be equally successful.
Two is always better than one. One and a half is better than one. 1 3/4 is better than one. So when you're thinking about a mate and you're like, I have to find someone who's my equal or above.
What is that?
You're selling yourself short.
Throw that mentality. I have to find someone who's my equal.
Yeah.
Throw that away, because in most cases, not all, but in most cases, that type of thinking does not serve you.
Right.
Let it go.
Yeah.
Let it go. Get to know people for who they are.
Sure, I think it's going to take both sides doing that. You know what I mean? Because I could be a young lady or a young man that's like, you know what, Marcus and Shire, you guys are right, man. I'm going into it. I'm going into it with that mentality. But if the opposite the opposite party is not thinking like that, that's where it gets hard. And I think because, Shire, these statistics show that marriage is a two-way street. It's not just that marriages are breaking up, but it's just that
the two parties aren't even coming together.
Yeah. Well, Shire,
I think there's other layers to this too.
Well, let's get on it.
Okay.
We got nothing but time. I mean, the people on the podcast, they're hanging out with us.
So the other one, and this could, well, this is, I'm just going to read a fact. So, this statistic from the same article, check it out if you're into this type of thing, but it says roughly 1 in 5 Black and Hispanic millennials who are married have a spouse of a different race or ethnicity. So what that tells me is that, that of the 24% of the Black millennials who are married, that 1 in 5 of that 24%. So are married to someone of another ethnicity. Mm. I don't know what the statistics are between male and female.
Right, right. I think that would be really interesting.
But I think that, if you're Black and you're looking for a Black spouse, maybe it's harder, or maybe you should be more open to a marriage with a spouse of a different race or ethnicity. But I just thought that's
definitely interesting.
Interesting to share.
Yeah, that's a good one, and we could definitely get deep on that.
So it's increased over time. Gotcha. So that's the thing. Now, what God has put together, what they say, let no man put asunder.
Yeah,
something like that. So I'm not, but that's the realness.
I honestly, in my small scope. Or a group that I've, of people I know, I've seen a lot of second marriages being with a member of another race, and I think that may play into that statistic. While divorce increases, you see that, you said that statistic is growing of blacks, you know, marrying other races. I think maybe it might be something to that as well. Like, hey, it didn't work out the first round. Maybe the second round, I'll try something else. You know what I mean? I've seen that in just in my experience from the little, you know, my small little sphere of people. So I don't know. But this is a great topic, man. And we really didn't answer anything. That's the kind of.
Yeah.
I hope you were able to siphon something from this conversation.
Well, I think the takeaway is what I think we stand for and what we represent. Yeah. And that is that marriage works.
Yeah.
Marriage is work.
Man, it's work.
But it also works.
Yeah.
When we stick it through.
Yeah.
And it's worth it. And I think of the 76% of black millennials who are not in a marital relationship and think of the benefits that they're missing out on.
Yeah.
76%. Okay, so if I'm making an average salary and if the other person's making an average salary and we put it together, we got something.
We got an above average salary.
We have an above average salary. Okay, we too ordinary. We come together, we can make a little something extra.
Yeah.
Something a little extraordinary.
Yeah.
You know, so.
It's hard for one person to outwork two people. So it's hard. You're going to have to grind that much more if you.
By yourself.
Are saying, I can do it all by myself. Well, you're going to be working twice as hard to do that. And I think we should close with this unknown quote, unknown source of this quote, but it's very famous saying, very, very famous quote. If you want, maybe you might know who says it. I don't know, but I think it's unknown. If you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together.
That's an African proverb.
Okay, there we go. There we go. Thank you, Shire. I knew you would probably know. So, Shire, any
what y'all think? Call us.
Yeah, let us know, man. Let us know in the comments section.
What is going on?
Call us on the if you're viewing this on the Anchor app, you can call in and leave a voicemail. And we'll throw it up on one of our future shows. So please do that. Let us know in the comment section. What do you think about this conversation? And also, don't forget to give us a 5-star rating, because that helps us to be more visible on all of the podcast platforms. Wherever you listen to this, go write us a little review. Say, hey, I liked it. And go ahead and give us 5 stars. You can keep the non-5-star reviews to yourself.
Marcus, we'll take those too.
Not so much. But any last words, Shire? This was a fun.
That was good.
Episode, yeah.
I mean,
a lot of meat on
look,
this one.
Look, we're giving ourselves compliments.
Yeah, we are. I guess we shouldn't do that.
Well, have a blessed week.
Yes.
And thanks for rocking with us on the Black Married and Debt-Free podcast.
We out.